Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Back on afternoon drive.
What is happening?
Start that over again.
You got a text. It's okay.
Nick texted me about something, so I was thinking
share
afternoon
with the class.
Drive. No, I will not. That's the thing we're not discussing tonight. It's Anthony Alant, Cleveland's biggest Matt Festa lover, back with you guys here on 92.3 The Fan. Taking your calls at 216-474-0092. Guardians big weekend series. We're going to continue on the discussion about that because Michael and I had this discussion on Friday when we were in on afternoon drive for Nick and Jonathan before the holiday. Whether or not you would actually take the White Sox seriously, and when and at what point do you need to fully address the fact that they are within one game, if not, you know, either side of the coin, basically for the last month, and that they're going to be for the rest of the season. I was listening to the Selby is Godcast with Zach Meisel and TJ Zuppi earlier today, and Zach basically said, look, this weekend series proved one thing to me, is that this division is once again not going to be decided until late September. And it's going to be down the stretch, a two-horse race between you and Chicago. And it's going to become a question of whether or not you guys can stay above water until Jose Ramirez and Angel Martinez comes back, and if the pitching staff can hold up, and versus Chicago, whether or not these young guys are going to falter and their pitching staff that is basically put together with duct tape is going to hold up as well. I think if you didn't take Chicago seriously as a threat to you in the division to reap to three-peat, win it for a third straight time, these last four games should prove to you that this year your main foe, your main nemesis is the Chicago White Sox. Whether or not the young guys hold up, I don't know. And as I was discussing earlier, it's very difficult for a team with this many rookies, second-year players. This is Chicago. It sounds a lot like I'm talking about Cleveland, but it's very difficult to have this many young players in so many key positions, in unproven players in Major League Baseball, continue to be as successful as they have been. But by the way, they're doing this all without their power-hitting Murakami, the Japanese kid that signed this offseason and hit 20 home runs by the time that he went down with that major injury. So they're doing this all kind of without their guy, and that's their fans' counter to the fact that we don't have Jose Ramirez. But I think that because you can see that these teams talent-wise, or at least on the field, are on par with each other, it gives you all the more reason, if you're the Cleveland front office, to be more aggressive this postseason. I get it. It feels like shouting into the wind, and that kind of retread argument that we take out of the waistband and we pull back up at this time of the year every single year. The Guardians are in first place or damn near close to it, and we just need a right-handed power bat and maybe a bullpen arm or a pitcher or something like that. It's the same issues and the same arguments that we have literally had since Terry Francona's gotten here, and very seldom have they addressed it. They did it with Andrew Miller back in 2016, and they did it with Lane Thomas 2 years ago to varying levels of success. Lane Thomas hit that home run, so I think that that all kind of worked out for them. But it does feel a little redundant to say once again, hey, you're this close to first place. You have some obvious holes on your roster, i.e. in the outfield, that I think there's plenty of players across Major League Baseball that you should be ready, willing, and able to trade for that are going to just put this team in a much better spot to not only compete for the division, but compete realistically throughout the playoffs. And based on this past four games, I think that it is necessary for you to be aggressive. I don't believe that Chicago is going to be as go for the gusto as another team in their situation might be, because I don't know if Chicago believes that this was supposed to be the year that they were competing for a division series. And I think in many ways, along with the CBA and potential lockout coming up in 2027 and people across baseball not knowing what the sport's going to look like in 6 months, you couple that with the fact that they have so many young players, a really good farm system, but they have a good thing going. Do you really want to push all of your chips into the middle of the table this year when you're not really sure if this is the time to do it? So I think that if you're Chicago, it's if the right situation comes up, we can get a starting pitcher or another bat for a low price, then we'll go and get that guy. But we're not going to sell the farm for a guy like Yordan Alvarez or give up a high leverage prospect for a rental like Aroldis Chapman, somebody that I've been pushing for to come to Cleveland. I think that we're going to work around the margins, work around the edges, and better our team that way. So it's not just that you are competing down the stretch and you're lining up for a couple of months long competition with literally one other team that is up on you in the season series right now, but the total margin of victory in these games has been 8 runs, and you obviously at every single point it was a one-run game in the seventh inning or later this weekend. You need to look at the situation and say that this is the time to be aggressive, to find the holes on your roster and seriously, critically look at it and say, do we trust the rookies that we have up? Do we trust guys like Cooper Engel and Khalil Watson? Do we trust the bullpen arms that we have right now? Tim Herron and Hunter Gaddis at varying points have been good, but have also been really not great, incredibly shaky. And that bullpen thins out after that really, really quickly. So are we going to properly address that, or are we just going to say Jose Ramirez will be back, Angel Martinez is going to be back, that's going to help enhance our lineup and our pitching staff is good to go? 216-474-0092. Let's head out to Larry in Elyria. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, Anthony? Hey, a couple of people, Anthony, I don't know if you agree or not. I had in mind, I don't know if the Angels, they're pretty terrible. The guy I liked for years, Jose Seriano, starting pitcher, he's going to make a few million dollars, that's it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I've always liked that kid. The move he has on the ball, he's very aggressive, comes at you. I think he's like $2 million, that's it. He's arbitration eligible, too, there, Anthony. I'd love to have him if they'd want to work that out. Another ex-Indian pitcher, he ain't doing too bad for the San Francisco Giants, which would make a trade with. But Sam Hedges, also another lefty. He ain't going to cost much. He makes about $1 million, that's it. Mm. He's not having too bad a year, but I can say, you know what, the guy, you see, think some other hitters, but, man, you're going to have to, you know, give something up for those two kids here. Soriano, though, I've always liked him a lot. To get your opinion on that.
Larry, I absolutely love both of those options. I was actually just talking to somebody the other day that mentioned Sam Hentges is the perfect person to come back to Cleveland. As Larry said, like, sub-2 ERA right now, absolutely dominating the San Francisco bullpen. And he's a guy that has worked alongside Carl Willis and this Guardians front office, so they know him very well. We saw it last year when the team traded back for Nolan Jones that, hey, he's a guy that has worked with our hitting development staff before. Even if he's not having a great season, we know what makes him tick, and we've known him since he was a young kid. Hentges was a guy that the Guardians drafted and watched grow through their minor league system, and, you know, injuries kind of got in the way and his arm fell apart, and that's kind of why the Guardians ended up parting ways with him. But yeah, he's having a great year out in San Francisco. And then Jose Soriano, that dude is awesome. He has electric stuff, 3.42 ERA right now, like a tremendous, tremendous player. I don't know if the Angels would want to give up a 27-year-old pitcher that has three more years of arbitration left after this season and is only making $2.9 million this year. Like, that's going to be one of your cheaper options. But I mean, Larry, I think you and I should probably start the Jose Soriano to Cleveland trade. He'd probably be a lot more expensive than some other starting pitchers that you're going to seek after. Like, if you're looking for the guy where we can just toss in some prospect nobody's ever heard of that's in double A, or, you know, some catcher that we have, that is the guy that you would trade for, is Sam Hentges, which I would love that no matter what, because again, the starting pitching has been tremendous. But I don't know how much you really want to rely on the same five guys all year, because you give yourself no margin for error. And there's not a lot of options down in AAA other than, what is Pedro Avila? No, he opted out of his contract. Kobe Allard opted out of his contract. There's like two or three guys down there that aren't really having good seasons, that maybe seem like they're a year away, but aren't really highly touted prospects. And then Cal Steven, a guy in AAA, the guy that you got for, AAA, the guy that you got for Shane Bieber, he just underwent UCL surgery, so he's out of the picture. But that seemed like a guy that the Guardians were going to rely on and potentially call up at some point this season. Jose Soriano is a great idea. Those are the kind of opinions and options that I'm looking for here. A young pitcher, a controllable starter that has electric stuff that you put into the Guardians pitching lab. And at least in the case of Soriano, he's already had a tremendous major league career, sub-4 ERA across 424 innings. That's the type of guy that they're looking for. I just think that a guy like that might take a little bit more capital. You know, you're thinking maybe in that situation, somebody like Cody Huff, maybe you're dipping into your top 10 prospects a little bit more. And I don't know if Cleveland's going to want to do that. But honestly, if you're looking at a situation where you got no idea what the landscape of the sport's going to look like next year, you're going into a spot where I don't want the White Sox to pass you up. I don't want Detroit to figure their stuff out. I don't want Kansas City to figure their stuff out. And then all of a sudden, you're not just competing with one team full of rookies. You're competing with three to four other teams across this division for that AL Central spot. Like, because the White Sox maybe aren't going to be as aggressive this year because they arrived a year early, and the fact that they are really young but look really, really good, I don't want the Guardians to be passed up. That is another thing of, like, I don't want the team to sit on their hands because they feel like they have a ready-made team and they're good to go, while everybody else in the AL Central is getting better and better and better. Because if you are not able to get over the hump, and God forbid the White Sox usurp you this season, you're not just competing with Detroit, who's always going to play tough, in Kansas City, who has a star-studded shortstop in Bobby Witt. I don't know what the hell they got going on over there, but at least on paper, it looks like a good team. I don't want to add in Chicago to that mix while you are continuing to do status quo stuff. I just want a little bit more. I don't know if they're going to, but it's a conversation that we're going to have every day until that trade deadline at the beginning of August. 216-474-0092. What would you like the Guardians to do at this trade deadline? We're going to leave that conversation there because we have a little bit of Browns to get to. Dylan Feltovich of the Browns Wire had an interesting piece earlier today that doesn't shine a light very nicely on Andrew Berry as well. Your quick Team USA update. We're in the 14th minute, 15th minute. Belgium's up 1-0.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Not great. Not great, Jax.
I don't watch soccer a lot, but Team USA looks lost.
They don't look good. I'm not going to lie. Maybe this is what happens when you don't practice with one of your main guys in the starting 11, and then all of a sudden, the day before the match, they're like, oh, yeah, we can bring in. All right, it's Anthony Lant in for Jake Volnick. We'll be back in five on the Fan. Back on the Fan, Anthony Lant in for Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime. Hey, if you missed a moment in our show, use the rewind feature powered by the Odyssey. Excuse me. Let's try that again. If you missed a moment in our show, use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. All right. We've discussed LeBron. We've discussed the weekend series from the Guardians and the trade deadline ahead. We haven't touched on the third team. And frankly, on Friday, the last time that I was on, we literally like offhand mentioned the Browns. And so I did want to see if there was anything about the Browns that we could talk about today. And I found quite a lot. So we bring on the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright Hotline, Dylan Feltovich of Browns Wire. What's going on, man?
Not much, just watching the USA struggle right now, so could be doing a lot better, but we're here.
Okay, so before we get into the Brown stuff, were you a big soccer fan coming into this thing?
So I do have a little bit of background in it because my sister played for basically all of her life. So my family has kind of integrated me into being a soccer fan, so technically, yes.
Okay, so I've like kind of parachuted in on this thing, but I mean, the last World Cup, I was in college. It was in Qatar. So we were like drinking mimosas at 9 o'clock in the morning on like a Wednesday watching these games. Like I had a great time watching it. And now it's been so much fun with like watching USA do this whole thing. So I've like I'm carpet bagging the sport, but I'm having a great time with it.
You know, and that's completely fine too, because okay, you know you're at least supporting, you're showing out for your country. I think it's a good thing. I don't get why people get so upset about people just hopping in whenever the World Cup comes on or anything like that. Like it's all good, you know.
Well, it's like I'm a baseball guy, and when people came in for the World Baseball Classic, like I wasn't upset about it. It's more attention on baseball. It's a sport that I love. Like it's a great tournament. I have no issue with that. All right, let's get to the Browns. You had an article come out earlier today or yesterday. I forgot which one it was. About the 2024 class being a whiff? What?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at the six draft picks that we had, and I know obviously it's not a lot. That was last year that we didn't have a first-round pick. But when you go in depth with it all, it was a mess. You know, the first pick that they had and that they made was in the second round. They ended up taking Mike Hall, and clearly that hasn't worked out. I mean, considering that they ended up having to go out and draft Mason Graham in 2025 with a first-round pick, too, that's never a good sign. And then you kind of look at the rest of it, too. You know, one of the best players from that class isn't even on the team anymore in Juwan Briggs. And he's been an impact player for the Jets over this past season. And to me, it was a complete dud, you know, and you know, at the same time too, I think that I've given Andrew Berry a lot of praise, and I think that he's done a great job these past 2 years. But I do think it was kind of interesting to reflect back on these past draft classes that we had and how it kind of impacts the roster building and moving forward, how it looks. And it was definitely interesting to go back through there. And especially when you're in this dead season now, you kind of have to look for different topics to talk about. But yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. So when I first saw the article, I'm like, come on, man, that was 2 years ago. Like, how can we really evaluate all this? And then I saw, you know, Mike Hall, I don't know. I'm still holding out hope on him. I know he had a really, really rocky start. It was his own fault, but his rocky start to his NFL career. And then I saw Zach Zinter's Jamari Thrash, Nathan Watson, and I went, oh, my God. Okay, that's where he's coming from here. So
yeah, no, it was not pretty.
So you mentioned, like, over these last 2 years since that draft, it's been, you know, stars and stripes from Andrew Berry. How have you seen them kind of learn from 2024 and sort of improve to where we're having these all-star studded drafts?
I think part of the big difference that I've seen wasn't necessarily from the 2024 to the 2025 draft, but more of the 2025 to 2026. Because when I look at it, and this is probably just my personal opinion, I think the 2025 draft and the 2024 draft were more suited towards the style of play that Kevin Stefanski liked. Because when I look back at even, you know, before the 2024 draft, everyone talks about Anthony Schwartz and how we ended up going out and getting Elijah Moore and stuff and Jamari Thrash in 2024. Those are those like type of, they're the same wide receiver with the same skill set kind of thing. And to me, I look at it like, okay, that was something that most likely Kevin Stefanski was searching for. Now, when you flip the script, though, to the 2026 season, it's a lot different. You see that, one, Andrew Berry is heavily focused on the offense, which is something that we did not see in previous drafts. You know, you also got three guys in the top three picks that you had were offensive players and stuff. And I think, too, just the style is a lot different compared to the old coaching staff, and now you're starting to see this new structure come in. And even with like the late round picks in 2026 with all the tight ends, you know, that's something that I think was very suited towards a guy like Todd Monken coming in, because it's definitely his style that he likes to run a lot better.
So outside of that, the big, like, actual Browns, like, news piece of information today was the Deshaun Watson insurance money that the Browns are getting. Just an insane amount of money. How big of a story do you feel like that is, and how much that's going to help the Browns moving forward?
I mean, that's significant when you're looking at the future outlook for this roster and stuff, because to me, I mean, everyone, when you talk about the Browns and stuff, the first thing that everyone mentions is the awful contract of Deshaun Watson and stuff. But now when you get that ability to gain some of the money back, you're able to make so much more of a difference when you're looking at it from a rebuild perspective, because the biggest thing is when you're kind of in this stage where you don't necessarily are going to be making the playoffs and, you know, you're still trying to figure out the quarterback position, you want to definitely bring in young guys and have that rookie contract. But at the same time, too, you need to have a healthy blend of veterans. And to me, I think that you are starting to slowly see the signs of these veterans coming in. I think specifically on the offensive line, you really saw that this offseason. But this kind of gives you the ability to go out there and start taking more swings in the free agency. And then even on top of that, too, you can go out there and potentially discuss even a bigger trade if you really wanted to, because now you have so much more cap flexibility. And if someone already has a big contract or is expecting to get a big contract, you're able to do that. So I think that it's going to have a huge difference on the future outlook for the Browns.
There was an ESPN article earlier today that ranked the teams based on their roster 1 through 32. And as you mentioned earlier, it's the offseason. It's kind of the dead period. So you're kind of looking anywhere for content. But the Browns were put at 31st. And a lot of it had to do with the quarterback situation. I think that kind of makes sense to people. It's not shaping up to be a great quarterback room. Do you feel like they have the second worst roster in all of football, or is that an exaggeration?
No, I definitely think that's an exaggeration, because to me, I understand that the quarterback position is one of the most critical pieces to a team in the NFL. Don't get me wrong. That's how it is right now in this day and age of football. But at the same time, too, if you look at the whole complete roster, there are so many talented guys. And yes, a lot of them are still unproven. You talk about the rookies that are coming in and are set to have a big impact, and the guys that are making their second-year jump. Yeah, they're not obviously going to be these big stars or anything like that. But at the same time, it's still a very well-rounded roster. I think that the offense is definitely still in the works. Obviously, you already mentioned the quarterback position. But at the same time, too, I still think, like I said, the offensive line got a little bit better. Even though you got rid of Myles Garrett, you still retooled the defense with guys like Jared Verse. And then also, I mean, he smacked it out of the park with a couple of these draft picks in 2025 with Mason Graham and Carson Schlesinger. To me, this is not a terrible roster. Sure, the quarterback position is a disaster. We don't know what's going to go on. But at the same time, if you're going to go and take a full, you know, extended look at this, it's really kind of putting itself together. I definitely think that there are some other rosters out there that are way worse and are in a worse position than the Browns are.
So do you feel like the reason why it's like a value, because again, it's a couple of people's opinions, but I'm guessing that the national sentiment is that the Browns have one of, if not the worst rosters. Is it more so just what the quarterback spot is and that they traded Myles Garrett away, or are they just, there's too many unproven young players at key positions?
I think it's a combination of both because, yeah, I mean, the quarterback position, like I said, it's not good. We all know that. And I think the biggest thing is the national media will look at, okay, this is a disaster of a quarterback position, and, oh, they traded away their best player. It doesn't look good on paper, but then again, you have to look deep into the whole depth of the roster, every of the positions out there and stuff. But at the same time, too, you know, you also have to realize that, hey, maybe Denzel Boston and Casey Concepcion don't take that big step that we need. Or, you know, Carson Schlesinger maybe regresses and stuff. Like, there is sort of that element to it. But at the same time, too, I don't necessarily think that when people are talking about, you know, the best rosters and stuff, they're really valuing these younger guys and even looking at kind of the whole landscape of the team.
So in that ESPN piece, they kind of did the projected offense. They did projected starters across all 22 positions. But at least on the offensive line, I found it was interesting. No DeJuan Jones, no Parker Brailsford. Do you feel like it's advantageous for the Browns to go with the veterans that they signed this offseason as opposed to the younger guys like DeJuan and Parker?
I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that they're kind of pivoting away from DeJuan Jones, mainly because we've already kind of experienced what DeJuan Jones is. We know how he is as an offensive tackle in the NFL. But I do think that a guy like Brailsford does deserve a chance. You know, I've been very adamant about having him being someone that gets time this year, because I think that when you look at the future outlook of this team, he's probably going to be someone included into that mix. And you also have to figure out too, you know, is this potentially a Zach Zinter situation, or is he going to be someone that could potentially be on the roster for however many years to come? Because again, you don't necessarily want to overpay for a center, considering that when you look at how the free agent market was this offseason with Linderbaum getting that massive deal from the Raiders, you don't want to be in that position. And since you're not necessarily competing for anything this year, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to go out there and try someone like Brailsford in that situation.
All right, Dylan Feltovich, Browns Wire, joining us on the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Final question with you. Actually, no. We can't let you out without asking the question of who you think is going to be the week one starting quarterback. I'll get to the final question in a second. But who do you think is going to be the week one starting quarterback?
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, every time. So the last time I was on with you, I think I said Anthony Richardson, which that one was completely gone in the wind. Yeah, we're not. We'll just throw that one away. Never happened, you know, don't look back at it. But to me, I'm still in the Deshaun Watson camp for now. The biggest thing, too, is I don't want to listen to what coaches, players, or executives say about the current situation with the quarterbacks right now. Because in reality, we don't know how these guys are going to be once the season starts. We need to wait until training camp gets kicked off and we got preseason on where we can truly evaluate these guys in a different light, because it's one thing to be able to say, oh, hey, he looks good with no pads on. But it's a completely different ball game when guys have pads on and you got a full blitz coming at you and stuff. So to me, I think that I'm kind of just leaning towards the fact that they might just stick with the veteran and see maybe if they have something out of Deshaun Watson. I don't think that there is anything there necessarily, but I'm going to say Deshaun Watson for now.
All right, so I'll mark you down. March, whenever we talked, Anthony Richardson, and then July 6th, Deshaun Watson. I'm excited to see who it is the next time we speak. Hell, it could be Daniel Jones. All right, final question with you. People are kind of starting to do their fantasy football drafts and getting into it a little bit. Who would you take from this Browns roster in fantasy?
So that's funny that you mentioned I'm doing a dynasty startup right now, and I accidentally took like four Browns players, which that's going to be we're going to probably have to rebuild, and then we just started the league, but you know, it's whatever. To me, I honestly think that the best player that I have, I guess, the most hope for is Quinshon Judkins. You know, before the injury, I think he was terrific last year. Obviously, the efficiency wasn't necessarily there, but I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that he was running behind one of the worst offensive lines, and I think that Todd Monken's scheme will definitely help him out in terms of his production. I definitely would probably smash Quinshon Judkins for a dynasty or even just redraft and stuff like that. That's my one Browns guy.
All right, Dylan, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the time with you tonight. Dylan, tell people where they can find you so we can get you out and you can keep watching this USA game.
Yeah, Browns Wire, you can find all my work there. And then on top of that, my socials, DY Felt, you can find me on Twitter, X, Instagram, whatever you like as your platform.
Dylan, you're gracious with your time as always. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night, man. Back with you guys here on The Fan, taking your calls 216-474-0092. We just heard from Dylan Feltovich of Browns Wire. We're going to react to what he said in a little bit here, but quick FIFA update. Belgium is up 2-1 in the 45th minute, heading into a little bit of extra time in the first half of play. Literally, USA scores. Everybody here goes crazy. My text threads go nuts. And then 45 seconds later, Belgium scores again. So there's your update on that as well. There is an article from Scoop B. Robinson, Brandon Robinson, that you are going to need to hear because it doesn't only touch on the potential reunion between Cleveland and LeBron. It touches on a reunion between Cleveland, LeBron, and another key factor from that 2016 championship team. So we are going to break that down as well because Jax almost started crying when I told him what the potential rumor is. But 216-474-0092, the ESPN article that I referenced with Dylan Feltovich had the Browns as the 31st ranked team roster construction-wise, roster talent-wise, in all of the NFL. And I looked at it, and I was very confused because I understood why they were put at 31st, but if you were to look critically at this situation, it just didn't make a hell of a lot of sense to me. Because the two biggest storylines coming out of Browns camp all throughout this summer were the Deshaun Watson versus Shedeur Sanders battle and Myles Garrett being traded, that is not going to look super kindly on you as a franchise because neither of your quarterback options are looked upon too kindly by the national media. We here in Cleveland think that Shedeur is an interesting potential idea as a starting quarterback, but we understand where he is right now. And I think that for the most part, Browns fans have calmed down on their opinions towards Shedeur Sanders. I'm not talking about the two extremes, the guys that want him traded if he doesn't win the starting job, and the guys that think he's God's gift to the quarterback position. The majority of Browns fans, I believe, think that Shedeur showed some flashes last year, made some big throws, but know that every NFL quarterback has flashes with big throws, and they need to see more before they're able to fully commit to him over one of these guys in the 2027 draft class. But as Dylan mentioned, you have a rash of rookies and second-year players that are really, really good. Carson Schlesinger is the reigning defensive player, defensive rookie of the year in the NFL. You just brought in another tremendous class, and I know that if you're looking at it from an objective standpoint and a national view, there's rookies all over the place, teams all over the country that made quote-unquote good drafts. We got no idea. In 5 years, we could be sitting here thinking that Spencer Fanoe is the second Jedrick Wills. We got no idea. But at least on paper, it looks like a really good draft. You couple that with a young defense full of studs, and it's not just Schlesinger, it's Mason Graham. There's guys all across the board that have really, really contributed to this defense being a top five defense in the NFL. That doesn't just happen by accident. And yeah, you take Myles Garrett out of it, but you bring Jared Verse, who's a budding superstar. I hope he's a two-time defensive rookie of the year. I guess he can't be a two-time defensive rookie of the year. He's a defensive rookie of the year 2 years ago, two-time Pro Bowler. So you factor him in, it doesn't feel like that much of a drop-off from Myles Garrett. Then you couple in the fact that you got Quinshon Judkins. You got a really good running back room. You have a lot of wide receivers that at the very least have a lot of high upside. I know Jerry Jeudy's still floating out there, but and he's not seen too kindly by national pundits, and he's certainly not seen well here in Cleveland, but Casey Concepcion and Denzel Boston look like really, really good pieces. Harold Fannin proved to you on the field last year that he is a viable, capable tight end one. So I don't see how you can look objectively at this Browns roster if you are diving into it, putting it up against other rosters, at least on paper, and saying that they shake out to the 31st ranked team all across the league. Jax, you said that you don't believe that whatsoever.
No, I just don't know how you look up and down this roster. Like you said, outside the quarterback position, this roster is not a bad roster at all. Especially, as you just said also, how good the rookies were in their first season. Like, even Dylan Sampson as a running back too, like, very solid season. So to have two viable running backs, a great tight end, you know, you're building that receiver room through the draft this year. Jerry Jeudy, like you said, he's whatever, but I mean, if he's your wide receiver two, maybe even three, if the both rookie receivers really pop, your roster's really good. Like, Grant Delpit's nothing to frown at. Denzel Ward's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. I don't see how this roster could be ranked second to last.
I mean, just over the defense, like, if you were lining up to start Dylan Gabriel or Taylen Green, it doesn't feel like the 31st ranked roster. By the way, if you were to guess who 32 was, who the worst roster is right now?
The Jets?
The Jets are 25th.
Come on.
They're taking Geno Hill, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, and Donnie Mitchell.
Geno Smith.
Did I say it twice?
You said Geno Hall, Geno Hill.
We're good. We're good to go. The worst ranked roster, according to ESPN right now, is the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, that makes sense, actually.
But even they have, like, Devon Achane, and you're like, all right, well, that's not terrible.
That's about all they have now.
Right in front of the Browns, by the way, the team that your former coach coaches for in the Atlanta Falcons.
That's outrageous, too.
Tied for 22nd with the Arizona Cardinals. 29th, excuse me.
The Falcons have... The Cardinals don't even have a player that sniffs Bijan Robinson.
The offensive weapons that the Browns don't have, the Falcons do. Like, they don't have a great defense. They got a couple of good guys over there. Like, I know the James Pierce Jr. situation, like, we have no idea what's going to happen with that. I mean, but
A.J. Terrell's a fan. He's a great corner.
Right. I mean, even Xavier Watts is older, but, like, he's good to go. Like, there's some stuff there.
No, there's no way the Falcons should be 20. That's outrageous.
But I look at the defense and see guys up and down the roster. I was just going for the young guys. I completely, didn't even factor in Denzel Ward. Like, that's another guy that's incredibly good, multi-time Pro Bowler.
Top five corner in almost every year he's played in the NFL.
So I think it my guess is that it has a lot to do with when these guys are breaking down the different rosters, and Mike Clay was one of the guys. You look at what the offseason chatter has been around the Browns, and you say, well, this is a team that traded the best defensive end in all of football right now, and they're competing for two sucky quarterbacks.
The Browns might not even have the worst roster in the division. The Steelers might have a worse roster overall.
Oh?
Than the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I can tell you the Pittsburgh Steelers are ranked at 19th.
I mean, DK, he's better than any receiver you have. But
Cincinnati Bengals 15th, by the way. Ravens round things their out offense, five.
They're off. Yeah, those two make sense. Yeah. That makes sense. But like the Steelers, like T.J. Watt looked awful in the second half of last season.
Yep,
awful. Cam Hayward is 40 years old, plugging up the middle still. Like,
I just don't. And even like, okay, the offensive line was terrible at the start to marginally less terrible at the end. But you also poured $100 million into it. And that was a big factor
we haven't even seen him play a game. And I know the offensive line is going to be better than it can't get like worse than it did last.
Well, because you were like below bargain bin shopping. You were going out back behind the bargain bin store to find whatever you could do. Yeah, they poured $100 million into it. You add in Spencer Fanoe. Even if Parker Brailsford ends up just being a rotational piece, guys across football are really, really high on him. So you feel like if you're able to fix that, which was such a detriment to the offense and led to so many other problems with the quarterbacks and the playmakers and yada, 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 you would think that that alone provides some more stability so that you can have a much better offense and a much better roster. But again, nationally, it's a you need to prove it to me before I believe in you situation. 216-474-0092. Do you really feel like the Browns have the second worst roster in football as well? When we come back, get a grip, but could another potential return and another homecoming be happening in Cleveland? We'll get to that as well. It's Anthony Land in for Jake Volnick. 2 hours down, two to go on 92.3 The Fan.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.